Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.
State Treasurer David McRae has put hundreds of millions back into the hands of Mississippi citizens, expanding the state's affordable college and career savings program and also returning record amounts of unclaimed money. Check out how Treasurer David McRae's office can help you, your business, or your organization. Treasury.ms.gov.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to the Super Talk Eagle Hour. We're broadcasting live this afternoon from Community Bank here on Highway 98 West here in Hattiesburg. As Community Bank gets ready to celebrate America's 250th birthday this afternoon from 4 to 7 o'clock, very special activities taking place here in the parking lot for all Community Bank customers, and we're really happy to be here and thank them so much for having us down here. Going to talk to David McCollum. He's the Chief Lending Officer of Community Bank here in a bit. Right now, we're going to bring two Southern Miss football players on the show with us who are now loan officers for Community Bank. Cole Cavalla, former tight end for the Golden Eagles. Trey Hebert, former kicker for the Golden Eagles as well. And, guys, welcome to the show.
Thank you for having us.
Glad to be here.
All right, Cole, I have to ask you to start the show out. The famous question, are kickers players?
They're players, but they're not athletes.
Okay, there we go.
I can accept that.
And Trey, how do you respond to that, Trey?
I would say absolutely. I mean, how many games is it decided by special teams? Half the season, most of the time.
Yeah. So really, would you say tight ends may be the least significant player on the offense?
No, I wouldn't go that far. Pretty important to having a good offense.
I agree with you there. And no. I want to correct you on the intro. We're former washed up.
Former washed
players.
Up.
So, oh, yeah.
Now you're loan officers with my bank, Community Bank. So you guys are off on a new career, are you not?
Oh, yeah, we are. And they've welcomed us with open arms. I can definitely tell you that.
Well, they've always welcomed me with open arms. Going back to 20 years ago up in the Mississippi Delta, I'll always be grateful to everything Community Bank did for my business ventures in the past. I wouldn't have had them had it not been for Community Bank, a wonderful, wonderful, wonderful bank. All right, let's start with you, Trey. Tell us what's going to happen here at 4 o'clock today. It's pretty exciting stuff.
It is. We're putting on a celebration here, celebrate the 4th of July, not just the 4th of July, but the 250th anniversary of the country. Hopefully going to have a big turnout, going to be grilling hot dogs, hamburgers, just putting on a good show for the customers. Going to have live music, food and drink, and we're looking forward to it.
Yeah. All right, guys, I want to talk to you a little bit about football. Then we're going to bring Mr. McCollum on here in a bit. It's going to be a rough year, I think. We all know that because of the big turnover in players. Let me start with you, Cole. When you look right now at the status of the Southern Miss football program, the difficulties they've had to overcome, you know, with particularly the transfer portal has hit them pretty hard. What is your thought right now as a former player as you look at the program?
For year one, I'm hoping just to see that they have the right guys in place because you just got to build back that culture up. I mean, you lose – 20 plus seniors, and then you know we bring in 70 people from transfer portal, high school, whole nine yards there. So really just building that culture back up to where you need it to be to win games, because you need to establish a culture before you can start winning games, or else you'll just crumble in the fourth quarter. So that's the big thing. Year one is, you know, seeing if we have the right guys in charge. You know, Blake Anderson, he's been doing a great job. I've seen him around a couple times, just played in his golf tournament about a week, 2 weeks ago. Mm-hmm. Talking to him for a little bit, and seems like he's got the, you know, the train rolling. So I think we have the right guys. I hope we can, you know, establish that culture, that winning culture back to Southern Miss, because it's been a couple rough years. But, you know,
it's interesting what you said about, you said if you don't have the right culture, you collapse in the fourth quarter. What do you mean by that?
Well, I mean, you know, if you're not in the trenches every single day with each other, you know, battling out, you know, it's a brotherhood. I mean, just like Community Bank, they've welcomed me with open arms. We're a brotherhood. You know, we go to the trenches every single day to make a dream come true. You know, as far as culture-wise, if you're not fully 100% in with the team, you know, we have 70 guys from the transfer portal, high school, new players. If they're not bought in and working together as one, they're going to go against each other in the fourth quarter when things get hard, whenever, you know, it's a three-point game and with 2 minutes left. And, you know, they'll have to learn to stick together and, you know, kind of battle out instead of just, you know, turning on each other.
And Blake Anderson certainly seems to have everything in perspective. Okay. He'll tell people, look, we're not exactly sure yet, you know, what we have. So let's get out there. But Media Day coming up here in about 10 days or so, Cole, and you got to be privy to that as one of the Southern Miss players that was featured a couple years ago. You did not get the opportunity to be interviewed by the highly talented and award-winning journalists that we are here on the Eagle Hour. So what was the dumbest question that you got from some of the media types at Media Day when you
know,
were there?
I'm a kind of guy that, you know, no question's dumb. So honestly, thinking back that far.
Well, I can see why you got hired, David. Had all the right answers so far.
Let's see. That was whenever we were transitioning from Conference USA to Sun Belt. So there was a lot of questions about how the transition is going to be and how the going from a, you know, I guess weaker league to a strong league is going to be. But there really wasn't any dumb questions, so to say. You know,
okay.
I feel like they're all pretty good questions.
And Trey, I wanted to ask you the same question I did ask Cole. As you observe the football program right now, your thoughts as a former player?
Yeah, I was just kind of piggybacking off what Cole said. I mean, when you lose Coach Huff and most of the staff, I think everyone kind of knew it was going to be a short-term deal for him at USM. I don't know if everybody knew necessarily it was going to be 1 year, but you turn over an entire roster basically, and that's difficult. It's difficult for the fans to get invested. It's difficult just for the locker room, like Cole said, to build that culture. I mean, that takes time. When you rely so heavily on the transfer portal, sometimes you put 70, 80 new faces in there and a lot of different personalities, and it doesn't necessarily always gel immediately. So that takes a lot of time, and it's built up over the summer in the weight room and when you're conditioning out there in the summer and building team chemistry, like Cole said.
And you hear, Ryan, too, people argue – well, not argue, but discuss, was, in retrospect, the Charles Huff hiring a good thing or a bad thing? And I always answer to people, considering the options that Jeremy McClain had, that was the move.
Absolutely.
Considering there weren't a lot of other really solid, viable options except Huff when he became available.
Right. They went out and got him. I felt like it was, like I said earlier, everyone knew it was going to be kind of a short-term solution. But when you're in a position that Southern Miss is in, you know, smaller team, a little bit of a smaller budget in football, I mean, you got to go out and get somebody that's proven and will come in and win after a year or two and, you know, eventually just inevitably leave for a better opportunity like Coach Huff did.
You guys played for Will Hall, fourth game of the year. Will Hall's now the head football coach at Tulane, Cole. Is he going to be waiting on the Golden Eagles to get there?
Just knowing him, yes. 100%. He wants to prove, I guess, you know, that this was, you know, obviously it was a downturn in his career, but he needs to prove himself again. I think he knows that.
Which,
but
that's human nature.
Oh, 100%. Yeah. You want to prove the doubters wrong. Like, I love Coach Hall. He actually got me this job. So I owe everything to him. And he's a great man, great human being. So I wish the best for him. I hope we, you know, go down in there and kick their teeth in. But, you know, I'm rooting for him.
Did you play for him, Troy?
I did. 2021 to 2023.
So, you know, and he is, you're right, he's a really nice guy. There's no doubt about that. Things didn't go well for him here, but he's got a good program down there.
Absolutely.
Talented program. It's going to be a difficult task for USM to go down there and beat him, is it not?
Absolutely. I mean, that's going to be a tough place to play. My sophomore year, Cole's, it's hard to keep up the years because Cole played for 18 years, but one of those years we went down there and I believe handed Tulane their only loss of that season. They ended up beating USC in the Cotton Bowl the year Caleb Williams won the Heisman. So always a tough game, but going to be highly competitive, and that's one I have circled on the calendar and look forward to.
Yeah. Well, guys, I guess you probably, this is the time of the year you miss it a little bit, am I right?
Body doesn't miss it. Mind misses it 100%. Just the competitive nature of me. I would love to get back out there and strap the cleats on, but no, I think I'm a little washed now.
Well,
body's broken down.
The sad thing about college football is now is you guys have full-fledged jobs and you're taking pay cuts, what you could be making playing college football nowadays.
Hey, we could always go sue somebody to get us another couple years eligibility if you want to. So, but I think my body's, you know, taking enough beating.
And I know you're joking, but you're not joking. You know, because that's all you'd have to do is find the right judge, right, Mom?
Yeah, well,
school
that's exactly
north,
right.
You know.
That's become a science now. Just find the right judge. You get whatever you need accomplished.
Right.
If you just locate the right judge with the right political affiliation.
If Cole or I missed the 6 a.m. runs and the 2.5 hour long workouts, but I certainly miss being with the guys. You know, just that sense of community and you know, just the relationship you have with your brothers, and they really do become brothers.
Yeah. Well, you guys come back a little later in the show. Is that good?
I do miss these 6 a.m. runs. I'm not even going to lie. Surprise.
Kelly does too, Cole.
Not me.
Hey, we're at Community Bank. They're getting ready to celebrate America's 250th birthday party. Going to be a great event out here at 4 o'clock. We're going to talk to David McCollum, who is the chief lending officer of this fine institution, next. Stay with us. Eagle Hour is on the air. Hey, welcome back, everybody.
The Eagle Hour. Southern Miss to the top.
All right, welcome back, everybody. Super Talk Eagle Hour is on the air. We are on Highway 589. Is this Hardy Street or 589? 98. What am I thinking? 589. Yeah. That's where I live, on Highway 589. David McCollum, he knows where he's at. He's the chief lending officer here of Community Bank. First of all, sir, thanks for having us here.
You're welcome. Glad y'all came.
I'll say this from personal experience. Community Bank really is a community bank. When you need something, you can actually talk to somebody. You do an awful lot for your communities throughout the area.
Thank you. We try to be a part and just support not only our customers but the community.
Now, here's something unusual about Community Bank in today's world. It is an owner bank. Explain what that means.
Well, we're privately held. We're not a publicly traded company. Mm-hmm. And ownership of the bank now, about 70% of it, the stock, is owned by current working employees that actually get a paycheck. And the bank is very generous to its employees through its ESOP plan, and every year they contribute in the form of stock ownership in the bank to each and every employee. And it's based on your gross earnings. And this past year it was a 10% contribution. It's unlike some, you know, banks have a 401k where if the employee puts up 5%, the bank matches it. That's not what our employees, our staff, have to do. And so that's how the ownership is. It creates a bank that is slow growth, but steady growth. And if we decide to go to a market like a Hattiesburg when we came here, we literally come buy land, build a building, hire bankers. We don't just go do a mega merger with another bank.
And the bank is unusually big to be privately owned, correct?
Yep. It's in the top 20 in the nation for as privately owned banks. It'll be the largest in the state of Mississippi. Cheap, you know, right at $5.5 billion in assets. 50 locations from Memphis over to Birmingham, North Mississippi, through the Pine Belt of, you know, we count Meridian, Laurel, and Hattiesburg in the Pine Belt region. And then across the Mississippi coast, Alabama coast, and Florida Panhandle.
Mm-hmm. Man, when you've got skin in the game, like your employees really do, David, I can't imagine why a lot of other institutions like yours don't go to that business model.
Yeah, it's a hard model. Okay, far as banking and what you see, it takes capital to run a bank. It takes capital to go into markets. You know, we call them investment markets. Example, 3 years ago, we go into the Gulf Shores market. We buy a building, we hire a banker, and we've got overhead and expenses. So we can grow the loan portfolio, till we can grow the income. It's an investment for the bank as a whole. But we monitor those, and it took right at 3 years. It's a profitable part of our bank. Those employees, as they get ownership, they want to work harder. You literally work as an owner and not just, I'm coming to get a paycheck.
Because of the ESOP contributions, there's money in it for you to work hard too, right?
Correct. And you've got folks that have been here in this location pushing 25 years. You look at what they've generated over 25 years in the ownership of the bank in stock, that they came to work and just did their job.
And you've been here about that long. And in that tenure, what would you say has been the biggest change to the banking industry since you've been here at Community Bank some 24 and a half years?
You know, you've gone from where there's more electronic banking. Most people, paychecks are on direct deposit. You don't see people standing in line on a Thursday or Friday to make their deposit with their paycheck. Most of it's gone electronically. COVID really advanced that. Things like mobile deposit, the online banking platform really ramped up because of COVID.
And like other things, us older people, and like I said, us, because I'm in that boat, we tend to be hesitant when it comes to anything electronic. Are we catching on, David? Are us older folks catching on?
I'm not the one to answer that, Kelly. I'm probably I'm one of the least tech
me too
bank folks, but that's okay. In our model, we want people to call us. We want people to ask. You're not calling, you know, a call center away from here. The phone rings at this location. It rings at individual desk. And we encourage our employees, staff members from that standpoint, to make yourself accessible, and they understand it as an owner.
And the bank is set up so uniquely, though. Every bank is kind of independent in its own respect when it comes to customers and loaning money, correct?
Yeah. What our model is, we've got about six folks that are at the, what I call the executive level at the corporate office. Only six at the executive level of corporate office like this. Each region, we have five, has a CEO. Each region has a chief lender, okay, in each region. So there's another 10 of us in that vein. And then our larger markets have presidents in them that run the day-to-day operation of the bank. But our markets, our regions, we call it North. It takes in Tupelo, Amory, DeSoto County, Memphis market. That's our North. Our Central is mainly around the Jackson, Brandon, Raleigh. We put Indianola in there as well as the Central region. Pine Belt takes Meridian, Laurel, and Hattiesburg. And then our Coast region is Mississippi, Alabama, and Florida. And then Birmingham is a separate region for us.
Well, talk a little bit about your activities here today. You got a big tent up here. I see a big table. What's all going to happen?
I tell you, Bob, years ago, I decided for Veterans Day we needed a big flag on the front of the bank.
It's gorgeous, okay? By the way.
And so as we've approached the 250, I thought, all right, we got to do the flag. And I thought, let's just show appreciation to our customers. Come. Get a hot dog, some chips, get a cold drink, yes, a few adult beverages, and also going to have a little band out front just to tell people thank you for
That's
banking
great.
With us. And
from 4 to 7 today.
4 to 7. Yeah.
All right, I've got to ask you about the flag. How big is this absolutely beautiful American flag?
I can't remember the exact size, Bob. I will confess it was too big. Okay, in that we had to kind of drape it a little bit and tie it up a little bit at the bank at the bottom just so folks could get in. But
because if you let those down, it would cover your entire entrance.
Entire entrance on it. But but we weren't gonna cut back on the flag. It's something I love.
No, it really is stunning to see it on the front of the bank. And if you're coming down the road today, you won't be able to miss it. I mean, it's massive. It really, really is gorgeous. So it's 4 to 7 o'clock.
4 to 7.
Everybody invited?
Sure. Just come by.
Okay. Even Kelly?
Yes, Kelly. We got a 2 hot dog limit for Kelly.
Oh, man.
Yes, that would be a good thing.
And there's no Skyline Chili either, Kelly.
Well, I'm glad you actually said it so that there's proof that it's a 2 hot dog limit. But you guys are also very supportive of Southern Miss, too. I mean, every game week, I know you guys have got signs out and always supporting the home university.
Sure. It's important to give back to this town, and USM is such an integral part of this town. We all know that. most people that know me, they know if you cut me, I bleed maroon and white. You know, I will bleed black and gold as long as they're not playing my Mississippi State Bulldogs.
But, oh, see, I was thinking Texas A&M.
But, oh, no. Don't go there.
Okay. Well, I was thinking Alabama.
You know I'm suffering. But yeah, USM and especially athletics, you know, from the entertainment standpoint and just the camaraderie of people in this town, and it's just important to support it. It really is.
I've often said that this would be a different city completely if Southern Miss wasn't located here.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And one thing, about, I don't know how much time we've got left here, but I wanted to get you to comment on, David, because the biggest complaint that I have in my business with people is having to reset check-o-matics or bank drafts because bank X, Y, and Z last week was bank A, B, C, and the week before that they were bank D, E, F. And it just seems like some of these banks, there's turnover, different names.
It is.
Community bank.
It
just keeps rocking and rolling.
You know, a bank gets to a critical size, and the CEO's wanting to make an exit. And his parachute, golden parachute in most of them, is to sell the bank. And that's literally, and a lot of his board, stockholders, that's what they want. We have a slogan in our bank. It's built to last. Our patriarch, Thomas Colbert, that started it and put the ESOP in plan, his goal was when someone retired, their quality of life did not go down. And that was his sole purpose of putting it in this way. And it's a testament to him. You know, I'm not far from retirement. Am I going to sell my stock? No. We've got good people that know how to run the bank, and I'll continue to get a good return on that stock.
We sure appreciate you having us down here. I want
to
invite the
here.
Public to be here 4 o'clock, 4 to 7. Is that right?
That's right.
We're going to keep your two football players here a little longer with us, if that's okay.
That's good.
Eagle Hour is at Community Bank. We hope that you can come by here in Hattiesburg this afternoon from 4 to 7. Enjoy the festivities. Sit up under this beautiful, beautiful flag. I can't get over how pretty the flag is. And thank you again for having us here. We'll look forward to rejoining you this afternoon at 4.
Thank you.
We'll be right back. Super Talk Eagle Hour continues after this.
You're tuned in to the Eagle Hour. The Eagle Hour. Southern Miss to the top.
Welcome back. Eagle Hour is at Community Bank here in Hattiesburg, and they're getting ready for their 4th of July, America's 250th birthday party. 4 to 7 o'clock this afternoon, public invited. You'll see the big tent out here beneath the beautiful American flag. And what are all you guys going to be doing, Trey? You're going to get a little food out here as well, correct?
Absolutely. Going to be grilling hot dogs, hamburgers, going to have live music, cold drinks, adult beverages, going to just try to put on the best show we can for show appreciation for our customers.
And anybody is invited to come.
Yep, absolutely.
All right, I got you two guys sitting here with us for the next segment. So I've got a couple general questions I want to ask both you young men. I'll start with you, Cole. I want you to give me your 30,000-foot view of the state of college football right now with all the money swirling around. You see, and you were not like this, but you'll see kids now that have played at 4 different schools in 4 years. What do you think about what you're witnessing?
It's a very loaded question because I come from a family that's very loyal. So, you know, which obviously, you know, you can't, you know, talk bad about someone that's taking a, you know, $200,000 pay raise going to an SEC school or ACC school or, you know, a bigger school than what, you know, what we are. That's just kind of how it is. But I honestly, I love that the players are getting paid. How the, I guess, rules that are being broken to, I guess, I think I saw one about a week ago, a coach wanted to DM in a player that's still enrolled at one school to get him to transfer out and be like, hey, we'll pay you X amount of dollars if you do transfer out. I can't stand that. That needs to be regulated. That needs to be, you know, cracked down on. Whether it's sanctioning the schools or, you know, fining the schools for tampering with these different players, I can't stand that aspect of it. I mean, let's all be real about it. Players are getting paid prior to NIL anyway. It's just under the table, you know, meeting on the side of the road or something with a duffel bag. So people were getting paid prior to the NIL. It's kind of gotten a little bit out of control with, you know, how it's gotten to now at this point. But I honestly don't like it due to the loyalty factor, you know, seeing people have played four or five different schools in their career.
Trey, if a guy now has a really good career and he's played at three different schools in 4 years, what school's Hall of Fame does he go in?
That's a good question, to be honest. I've never really thought about that, but I agree a lot with Cole. I look at the landscape of college football now and just college athletics in general. I think it's a great economic opportunity for a lot of these universities. I think we're seeing a lot of the smaller universities kind of get left behind in a sense, and just there's a real lack of regulation in general. You have a kid that signs out of high school for on a $2 or $3 million deal with the university, and next thing you know, he's not a part of the team the next year. So they've got to find a way to have some more regulation, just out of the best interest for these programs and these coaches, because you've got to think now, a lot of these coaches now, there's really no true off season because they're recruiting around the clock and they've got to recruit their own players to stay, and they're having to turn over an entire roster in the portal every off season.
And none of those guys are giving any money to the Alumni Association either.
No. Exactly, and that's another issue as well. You know, if I'm an alumni donor and I'm giving $500,000 to a program every year, you know, personally, I would like some say-so in who plays. And I think we're running into a lot of that. And I think the NCAA's hand is going to be forced within the next several years to regulate more of this.
How much of the problem would this one simple rule change or solve? Go back to the way it used to be. Yes, you can transfer. But if you transfer, you have to sit out a year. How much of the transferring would that slow down?
I think the floodgates are just too far wide open for them to go back to that, unfortunately. But, you know, personally, kind of my take on it has always been, I think if you transfer, you should have to sit out unless the coach that recruits you leaves.
Good point.
But if you like to transfer for any other reason and gain immediate eligibility, you should just have to file an appeal. To me, that is the easiest fix. But like I said, the floodgates just may be too far wide open.
What do you think, Cole? Sit out a year?
If the coach leaves, I think you should be able to transfer. Graduate students as well. If you graduate, I think you should be able to transfer as well, you know, to pursue, you know, your further education. As far as sitting out, I mean, it's a touchy subject because, you know, you don't know every situation with every different player. You know, not everyone's going to chase money. Some people are just transferring out just to go get more playing time. So there is a fine line to that, you know. What we're seeing now, it's very prevalent that they are transferring for, you know, more money to get paid higher, you know, I guess their salaries now. But, yeah, it's just a fine line you have to walk. Yeah. And honestly, it's hard for the NCAA to regulate it, and we're seeing that now.
I should point out, too, that Cole is sitting here with us in the complete Uncle Sam uniform. So you never were asked to do that at Southern Miss, were you?
No, it was
dressed
not.
Up like Uncle Sam. It fits perfect. Is that your suit or is that a...
No, you know, whenever I got to the bank last year, they said, you know, you're the rookie and we have this costume upstairs for you. And I'm comfortable in my own skin. I don't care. I'll put on whatever costume you throw at me. I was like, okay, sounds good to me. When put it on, and they're like, oh, you can take it off. And I was like, no, I'm good. I think I'm going to wear it for the whole time. And now this year, well, it's just a thing now. So I think I got to keep going as long as
Cole,
you know,
Kabbalah,
I'm
here, so. A.K.A. Uncle Sam.
And you know what that means, Bob? Before you leave today, you got to give 50% of your wallet to him.
Yeah, Cole. Exactly.
like the real Uncle Sam.
I'm not going to argue with you on that one.
Hey, yeah. I wanted to ask you guys about the things that you learned being it as football players, the personal traits and disciplines and sacrifices that you had to make as football players, how that has helped you in the private sector of where you guys are now loan officers for Community Bank.
I'll go on that first, which I come from a military family, so structure was a big thing growing up and in sports as well. You know, after I wound up graduating, done with football, I was just taking my last semester of my master's program in the spring, and I was lost. I was taking online classes, you know, didn't really have a set schedule, and I'm a very schedule-oriented person. If I don't have anything to do, I'm lost. I'm drifting. I'll be a bum. I wouldn't be doing anything. So honestly, having the structure in your life and following that structure, you know, I always say if you're 5 minutes early, you're 15 minutes late, which plays true in sports as well. I mean, you're going to be doing pencil rolls and, you know, running laps and doing whatever.
I can tell you've been around military people a lot.
Oh, yeah, big time.
Yeah, this is all very familiar to me. Yes, yes.
Oh, yeah, my dad, our punishment, he knows all the pressure points.
Yeah.
So it was never, hey, I'm taking my belt off. He'll just come give one pressure point on, like, your thumb or the back of your ear or something to where, you know, or the little, they called it the tail, right at the back of your hair.
Uh-huh.
But, yeah, definitely growing up in structure and structured, you know, for meetings and practice and watching film, whole nine yards there, that is definitely prepared for
that. And that you would have been a bum had you not had a – actually, there were a couple of games, Bob, that I heard fans in the stands.
Hey, I had the long hair. I had a little straggle. I was, yeah, you know, were. It was – you know, rough looking
movie,
there for
you
a little
had the
bit.
Movie star look a little bit.
Well, thank
how about
God.
You? What did football teach you?
I would say just for me that similar to Cole, discipline is the cornerstone of everything. You know, if you don't have discipline, I don't think you can be truly successful. Being on time, leading by example, things that you can control really has a big role in how successful or not you're going to be in life. And typically, you know, you can notice with a team, is this team disciplined or are they not? And typically, if they're not, they're going to lose games in the fourth quarter, or in even sometimes you can walk in a locker room if it's a mess, if things are in disarray, if things are out of order, you can pretty much tell immediately, you know, this may not be a winning team.
A lot of personal foul flags start flying when there's no discipline, right?
Oh, yeah.
And I can't, and I know I'm going to sound like, again, the old Muppet sitting in the opera box, but I think that new age parents are losing the desire to discipline kids that, like, the way I think they want to be disciplined. And if they're not going to get it at home, sports is a great way to provide it.
Oh, it's the best way. Best way, 100%. I mean, I learned so many life lessons, you know, which my dad was my coach growing up, so I still had that military background as my head coach, but he was my coach as well growing up because he coached me in baseball growing up, which I honestly thought I'd be playing baseball in college, but, you know, God had a different calling for me. Found my way here. Obviously, I think everyone around here has heard the story about driving up through, you know, for Katrina, evacuating, and, you know, me laying my eyes on Southern Miss for the first time. But yeah, no, it's everything. So.
And that is how you found Southern Miss, because of the hurricane?
Oh, yeah. Yep. We moved down here. We actually got – my dad got transferred from Orange County, California, came down to Slidell, Louisiana about 3 or 4 months before Katrina, and we didn't even know what a hurricane was. And, like, hey, you got to evacuate. And, like, what do you mean? It's just rain. So we wound up evacuating, hitting the interstate, rolling on up, and I was a big Brett Favre fan growing up. So it's like, oh, you know what? Let's stop by campus. Saw campus for the first time and immediately fell in love when I was, you know, 7, 8 years old. So.
Yeah. So, and you ended up being a Golden Eagle, right?
I'll
ask both you guys this before we run out of time in this segment. You both remind me of a lot of baseball players that I've met in this regard. When you finished your – you're not from here. You finished your careers, and you both live here now. I'm going to let you both stay here, and I'm going to get you to tell our audience why, after Southern Miss football, did you decide to make Hattiesburg your home. That good?
Sounds good to me.
Absolutely.
All right, we're going to continue our broadcast from Community Bank here in Hattiesburg. Don't forget, 4 o'clock this afternoon, you're invited to come down from 4 to 7. Free hot dogs, free soft drinks, free music. You can see Cole. You can take a picture with Uncle Sam here at Community Bank. Eagle Hour continues after this.
Southern Miss to the top.
To the top.
You're tuned in to the Eagle Hour.
All right, everybody, welcome back to Eagle Hour. It's on the road. We're at Community Bank here in Hattiesburg. We've got Cole Kavala and Trey Hebert with us, former Southern Miss ball players. Real quick reminder, tomorrow a special show. We've got Scott Kirk, the sports director from Channel 7, will be joining Dima and I, and we'll be evaluating all three major sports as we head into the summer break here and get ready for all the fall activity. Basketball practice will be going on about the time football practice is going on. And so that'll be an interesting show. We think you'll enjoy that. And then we'll have a best of on the air the Monday after
the 4th of July weekend. But right now we'll continue our conversation with these two fine young men. All right, let me start with you, Trey. What I ask you and Cole both this, what made you decide to stay in Hattiesburg post-football and education career?
I've been here 6 years now, and it's felt like home. They've treated me like this is my home. I think Hattiesburg is just big enough to where, you know, it's an exciting place to live, but it's also small enough to, you know, you go make a run at the grocery store, you're probably going to run into somebody you know. And I think the hub city is a real thing. I mean, it's, you want to go to New Orleans, it's close, you can make a day trip there, Mobile, the beach. And Southern Miss just has a very strong sense of community, I feel like, and really brings Hattiesburg together. And this is where I've called home the last 6 years, and I don't have any plans on going anywhere anytime soon.
All right, Cole, being a military kid, you've lived in a lot of different areas. What made you pick this as your home?
I did, and it's funny you say that because all my family's still in New Jersey, New York, and out by California and Vegas. So I'm really the quote-unquote country boy. So I don't know how country I am. I don't even own a pair of boots, but really just the family atmosphere, and honestly Southern Miss as well. My family's an hour south, you know, in Slidell, so that's a big reason as well. But yeah, I mean, it's a big town, but a small town at the same time. Yeah. You know, everyone knows everybody. You know, there's a bunch of stuff to do, especially with baseball and football being a college town. But yeah, just, I honestly don't like being right up on people, so I like to have a little bit of land, you know, not live right next to people. So that's a big reason for me as well. But yeah, it's a family town.
And I got to ask you too, Cole. You just mentioned you from New Jersey, New York. You moved to Slidell from Orange County, California. Yep. There are no more blue state areas in the whole country than those places. Hey. And you moved to Louisiana. It's about as red as it gets. Mm-hmm. Like Mississippi, tell me about the culture shock of moving to the Deep South when you've been to all those blue states.
You know, it's funny because here everyone loves everyone. Everyone gets along. I know sometimes people have their differences, but, you know, in the end, everyone's family around here. Whenever you're up in the city, up in you know, New York, you know, people are laying on horns, you know, yelling at people out the windows. And here, I mean, you might hear a horn every now and again. You know, I still have that Yankee in me sometimes, too, where I press my horn sometimes. But, you know, the culture shock, it's definitely a lot different, which I wasn't of age to really remember much of whenever I was in California. We moved down here to Louisiana whenever I was eight. So I grew up and got my identity in Louisiana.
Okay.
And Mississippi. So it definitely is a lot different. We still travel out west to go every year to see my grandparents and stuff, but it definitely is a culture shock.
All right, so when you played here, you had that Samson look. Now you had the long flowing locks. They're gone now. Did you have to become a banker?
Yeah, I had to get a little bit more professional. I couldn't have the straggly long hair, which it's starting to get a little bit longer now, so I probably gonna see the barber here soon. Uh-huh. Here soon, but I'm trying to, you know, it's gonna be gone before you know it, so I'll be bald here soon. So you gotta keep it while it lasts.
Now, you know? Another thing that football brought you is you met your now wife, correct?
Yes, sir. Blessed.
Was it the long hair? Was it the football hero deal? What was it that attracted her?
You know, she actually didn't know I played football.
Well, there you go.
I wound up meeting her in statistics, and she's the only person from my classes that I still talk to, and honestly, that I ever talk to, because mm-hmm. I would come in from after, you know, 6 a.m. lifts. I'd be exhausted, and I would just try to use all my mm-hmm. focus on the teaching. But she caught my attention, and obviously, you know,
there
the rest
go.
Is history from there. And right. She was actually at the first game for my first ever catch against Troy back in 2019.
And now, Trey, were you surprised to hear that a tight end was taking statistics?
Oh, yeah, for sure. That had to be one of Cole's tougher classes.
I took statistics, but I wasn't there for the stats. I was there for my now wife.
But what a pickup line, Bob. He went to her, he said, I don't know a lot about statistics, baby, but I do know, that you're one in a million. Huh?
Hey, that's pretty a lot better line than what I used, because she was the one that picked up on me. I wouldn't even the other way, so I can't even. So I have to admit to that. So thank
you. Now,
you
have a better half?
I do. We've been together 3 years now.
Did y'all meet at USM?
We did. Not married, but been together 3 years now, and she's a sweetheart, better than I deserve.
So these are two reasons you guys can't leave as well.
For sure. Yeah. For sure. Just the relationships at USM, you know, built lasting relationships, met a lot of people. My story in college, a little bit different than Cole's. I had a football part of my story at Southern Miss, and then a part of my story through Sigma Chi, and just those two organizations, the relationships I've built have lasted and have served me well.
Well, I'm going to tell both you guys something, and you'll remember I told you this. I can tell you 52 years after the fact, it never leaves you. Southern Miss never leaves you. My wife and I moved here 52 years ago, and every member of our family has gone to Southern Miss since. So it's you're stuck. You're not going to get to leave, guys.
Hey, I'm not complaining.
Hey, thanks for having us down here, fellas. 4 to 7, right? Community
yes, sir.
Bank.
4 to 7.
Are you going to be here in the Uncle Sam uniform?
I will be here in the Uncle Sam uniform.
Free pictures?
Free pictures.
Maybe
$2, and I'll get 50% of that. But
yeah, yeah. There we go.
Free, 55%. Free.
You got to do it right. All right, that wraps it up here. Hope everybody has a wonderful 4th of July. Come celebrate with our good friends here at Community Bank. 4 to 7 today. Southern Miss.
To the top.
Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.